Okay, welcome back. L'chaim Saul, l'chaim. I thought l'chvod Chodesh Elul, we would skip ahead a bit, and then maybe later we'll come back. But we'll skip ahead to the shofar sugyot, and daf kaf vav amud aleph.
Is this the astronomy part? Shofar and astronomy?
Shofar and astronomy, yeah. No, we're skipping over a lot of the astronomy part right now.
Yeah, I'll probably go back to it.
It's but we need to go back to it, yes.
But you know, we're skipping over astronomy, really?
Because we're going to shofar.
We'll go back to it.
Well, there's like astronomy related on shofar, you know, because the mazal of Elul is
Maznai.
But there's no shofar there.
Right. Kafav, 26a. It's a curious thing that basically up until here, up until Kavav, you know, the whole Masechta is not too long. And as if you were writing a Masechta about Rosh Hashanah,
I'd probably write about Rosh Hashanah.
You think there'd be more about, well, in other words, I just gave it away. In other words, you don't write a Masechta about Rosh Hashanah. You write it, you put together a Masechta, you gather assorted topics that are related somehow and put them under one umbrella, and then you choose a title for it. Sometimes the title is the opening word. Masechet Beitza is not actually about eggs.
Yeah.
Right? Although it starts with a discussion of a Beitza Shenol Yom Tov. But it takes that name or its nickname from that. But Rosh Hashanah, there's, you know, less than 10, there's whatever it is, eight and a half Amudim dealing with, you know, the more classical Rosh Hashanah things, and the rest of it is the stuff that we've been discussing, and until now, much of it had very little to do with Rosh Hashanah, classically defined.
Basically,
stuff,
the year.
Stuff, well, about the Shtarot and the calendar and the Shtarot, and then about Kiddush HaChodesh. The main topic of the Masechta is Kiddush HaChodesh, and it's really the proper name for it could be Hilchot, Masechet Kiddush HaChodesh, right? Which is what the Rambam calls it. One is when he organizes the halachot, he has a big section called Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, and the Rambam does not actually have a section called Hilchot Rosh Hashanah, because there are no Hilchot Rosh Hashanah except for
Shofar,
which he has. Hilchot Shofar is there, but it doesn't even get its own book. It's lumped together with Lulav and Esrog. So here on Daf Kavav Omid Aleph, the Mishnah begins. And this is also curious because the first Mishnah in the Perek really belongs to the second Perek, Re'uhu Bet Din V'chol Yisrael, right? Which we're skipping now about the Eidim see the Kiddush Chodesh and the Kamen, etc. So now the discussion really begins from here. Kol Shofar Ksherim Chutz Mishel Para. All shofars are kosher for the mitzvah Tkiyat Shofar. Rashi says, Bein Shel Ayel, Bein Shel Ya'el, except for that of a cow. Bipnei Shehu Keren, because the, I have to be careful with my words, the horn of a cow is not a shofar. It's called a Keren. Right? And what does the word shofar mean? What's the shorash of the word shofar?
David's not here.
David is not here. David?
It's
shofar. Like to improve, to beautify. Yeah, no. Well, so that's like a drusha. No, like shvoferet. Like shvoferet. Like a hollow, it's a hollowed out tube. Right? So there are animals that have horns, like an antelope, where there's no, it's not hollow. But as you understand how a horn works, you cut off, you know what a ram looks like. So you go up to the ram and you say, pardon me, I just want to cut off your, not antlers, cut off your horn. So the ram will be very happy because he wants you to do a mitzvah. Usually
that's what he was created for.
Usually they first shecht the ram. But when you buzz off the shofar, it's hollow inside. I mean, it's got all types of junk, but it's essentially hollow. The hard outer stuff, which is, you know, of course, made from the same material that our fingernails are made from, toenails, etc., the hooves, right? It's hollow on the inside. Usually there's a little bone that protrudes from their head, right? And the horn grows around it, but it's hollow. It's not hanging onto that bone. That's why, like, you know, if you see in the National Geographic, like when the rams do that thing where they butt heads, it sounds hollow, right? It doesn't sound like two rocks clanging against each other. But you
must be talking about it on TV, not the magazine.
Yeah, well, you see it on the National Geographic Channel. Yeah.
Okay.
Not that I endorse television, you understand. But once I was on the airplane and they have the... So...
You mean like internet?
No, not internet. But on the airplane they have... So it sounds like two hollow objects striking each other, because indeed it is hollow. But there are animals like an antelope who have those horns that are not hollow. They're solid. So bechlal, that's not even within the parsha of shofar, because if you take an antelope horn and you drill it out and make it hollow, I assume that you could blow a note on it. But that bechlal is not a shofar any more than if you took a piece of wood and did the same thing, or a piece of metal and made a... I'm told you can make wind instruments that you blow on out of metal.
And concrete?
Or concrete? Are there concrete instruments?
There was some demonstration of concrete flute.
But you could do this, but that, of course, is obviously not a shofar, because it's not even to begin with a shofar. A cow's horn is hollow, but it is puzzled because the Mishnah says, because it is a keren. Mipneshu keren, Rashi says, eno karui shofar. It's not called a shofar. Right? V'gabe yom ha-kippurim, shofar k'tiv. V'havarta shofar trua. Right?
It's also a drush on why it's not a parah.
What do you mean it's also a drush on why
there is also a drush on why it's not a parah, which is because of the ego.
No, so that's not a drusha. That's another halacha which we're going to get to, but that's not what the Mishnah says. So Omar Rabbi Yossi, v'halo kol ha-shofrut nikru keren. But wait a second, that can't be. Right, it can't be
because
all shofrot are called keren, because there's a pasuk in Yehoshua b'mshoch b'keren hayovel, right? The yovel dichrehu. Yovel is not here. Yovel and shmita, right? This pasuk is sometimes misunderstood. You know, and yovel, there's also a din of tkiat shofar at the end of yovel when the avadim go free. This is not yovel and shmita. This is a ram, right? It's a synonym for ram. That's what Rashi says. Dichra is a ram who the
Mefarsh Be'u Gemara. I don't understand that. What do you mean it's not the Yovel is Yovel and Shmita? What is it?
This pasuk b'mshoch b'keren ayovel is not when you blow on the. It's not when you blow on the shofar of when you blow on the horn for the Jubilee year. It's when you blow on the ram's horn. Remember Joshua blowing on the ram's horns?
B'mshoch b'keren ayovel kishamachem et kol ha-shofar yiriyu et am.
Right. This is Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho.
Fit.
What? Fit. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. We once heard the. We once went to the Jerusalem Theater. They had the Golden Gate Quartet. You should look them up.
Okay.
This old quartet of singers, right? And they. I mean, these guys. They could sing those spirituals. Swing low. They were able to sing so low that I can't even think that low. I can't even in my head imagine. But go on to, right? Swing low, sweet chariot. But they also sang Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Okay. So kola shofrot ksherim. Chutz Michel Para. Rabbi Yossi says, so what's Rabbi Yossi saying?
He's arguing with the reasoning behind.
Well,
not necessarily the
either he's arguing against the reasoning, right? Either he's saying it can't be that the reason that the Para is Basel is because of this etymological, this Karen. Because you see, other shofar, they're also called Karen. But Enachinami, I agree that the show that the para is puzzle, or he's saying the para is not puzzle.
It's right?
Fear would mean that it's okay.
What?
So he could be saying it's okay.
Right, so either he's disagreeing with the reasoning behind the halacha of the Tanakhama, or he's disagreeing with the halacha of the Tanakhama.
How are we translating the word fear here?
What?
How are we translating the first word in the Gemara here?
Shapir kama
could mean it's good.
Yeah. But there's no doubt that it means yafeh amarta.
Right.
You said well.
Right. Okay.
Rabbi Yossi's point is well taken.
No, I only mentioned.
But obviously, what the Amora. In other words, there is a linguistic element here. There's a
right.
In other words, it's not stam. In other words, there's a but kavanah. They're making a word play here. So Shafir Kama Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi said, well, Taka Rabbi Yossi has a good point. Rabbanan Kol HaShofrot. So how do the Rabbanan respond to that? Kol HaShofrot Akru Shofar V'Akru Karen. So he says, Enachinami. The Chachamim agree. All Shofrot are called Shofar and also called Karen. De Para Karen Akri, Shofar Lo Akri. But Para is never called Shofar. It's only called, so the problem is not that it's called a Karen, it's that it's not only called a or it's not called a shofar.
Not a shofar at all.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Rashi brings psukim to bring proof. Dichtiv, Bechor Shoro Hadar Lo, Vekarne Re'em Karnav. Here's a perfect example. Here's a shore, right, which is referred to as Karen. The Karnei Re'im Karnav Kol Bechor Shoro Karen Ashkechan Deakrei. Rabbi Yossi Amar Lecha De Paranami Ekrei Shofar. So this is what he's talking about. Para, don't tell me that a para, the horn of a cow, is never called shofar. Sometimes it is called shofar. What's his posuk? Dichtiv, posuk in Tehillim, v'titav l'Hashem mishor par. What's the pshat of that pasuk? It shall be pleasing to Hashem more than a shore par. What's a shore?
A bull.
What's a par?
A cow.
No.
So shore is an ox. So he calls it a shore, an ox and a par, a bull.
A par and a bull. Right, but maybe a shore is when it gets older. Right? V'im shore lama par, v'im par lama shore. And as the point is that what the pasuk is redundant. To say that praising Hashem, davening to Hashem, is Hashem wants our tefillot even more than He wants the karbanot, right? Mm-hmm. He wants our good deeds more than He wants the karbanot. So is that will be more pleasing to Hashem than a shore par? Mm-hmm. Right? So im shore lama par, im par lama shore. What do you need the redundancy for? Elamai shore par mi shofar. Al tikre shore par ela mi shofar. Right? It's more pleasing than the tekiat shofar.
How is this a proof? That's a drash.
Right.
The first pasuk also didn't say. The first pasuk also didn't say that it was called a Karen. It said Karnei Re'im.
Yeah. Karnei Re'im Karnav.
Oh, Karnav. Okay.
What? V'Rabbanan. So obviously, Rabbi Yossi's proof is not the strongest proof in the whole world. Rabbanan, Kiderav Matna, the Omar of Matna, my shore par. How do they read the pasuk? Shehu gadol kipar. It's a shore that's so good, big. It's as big as a bull. Shore shehu par kipar. Biyom shenikra shore haya gadol kipar. Zehu shore shel maaseh bereshit. Shebiyom, this is Rashi. Biyom shenivra nivra bimkumato. V'shor ben yomo karu ishor. Shneemar shor o kesev o eiz. Upar eno nikra ad ben shalosh. Right? In other words, ishor is kind of like the generic name, and par is the adult name. You know, like in English, you say a cat, you know, like the,
a puppy and a dog.
A puppy and a dog, or no, in other words, like we also have like you have a calf, a female calf becomes a cow, and a male calf becomes a bull.
But isn't shor generally mean ox, not a young cow?
So, in other words, what are oxen?
Adults.
Oxen are a form of bovine, right?
They're bulls that have been sterilized, right, and they're used for work instead of for meat.
Right, so is that true in Tanakh, that they're sterilized bulls, or they're just a different...
I assume. Right. That's what I... Like, you know, shor mu'ad, it's talking about...
Right.
A plowing animal, not an animal that is out grazing here. Right.
So,
whether or not it's sterilized is secondary, but it's a work
castrated
animal.
I think is the term you're looking for.
Sorry,
castrated is the term.
Thank you. Right.
Right.
Is that what is the difference between a bull and an ox?
A bull is used for mating, and an ox is used for plowing.
You didn't tell me what the difference is between a bull and an ox. You told me what the difference is in their usages.
No, what's the difference between a husky
is
and
the same animal?
One is castrated, the other is some.
One is probably castrated, and they're bred differently. What's the difference between a husky and a husky?
You can't breed them once they're castrated.
No. when they're born, they're trained differently.
Right.
Yeah, but essentially it's the same animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like a Chihuahua and a Great Dane are the same animal. But
they're different species. They're different
subspecies. No, they're the same
species. They're the same species.
It's a different subspecies.
Right, well, same thing. You have different breeds that you use for work animals and different breeds for...
Well, an ox and a bull are probably a bit closer than...
Sorry?
Ox and a bull might be a bit closer.
I was giving you an example, a German Shepherd and a Husky, whatever. Anyways.
Yeah, that's
better,
right?
Ula Amar. If you breed dogs of extremely disparate sizes, a Chihuahua and a Great Dane, can that lead to a viable birth?
I'm sure that it can. I think that they might have a physical problem breeding, you know.
Yeah, but you can artificial insemination.
Right. Presumably, if you artificially inseminate them, it'd be no problem. Or if if the mother was a Chihuahua, she might have
difficulty giving birth.
Right. Although probably not, because I think only like humans have that problem with its head. You know, she probably just won't have as many
puppies.
Mm. We can try this and let you know.
Ula Amar Hainu Ta'ama Derabanan. So Ula. Ula has a different reed. What's the reason of the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan who said you can't use a... So wait, but Lamaisa, what's the proper way to read Rav Yossi? Rav Yossi. He holds that Enochinami, that a para is kasher. It's not, he's not merely disagreeing with their reason, but with their halacha.
Right.
So Ula Amar,
but his claim is rejected.
His claim seems rejected, except for the fact that the Chazal thought you have to give another reason to support. So there must have been something to his position. So Ula Amar, Hainu Ta'ama Derabanan. This is the reason for the Chachamim. Kederav Chista, the Omer of Chista, Mipnei Ma Ein Kohen Gadol Nichnas Bevigdei Zahav, Lifnai Vlifnim, Lavod Avoda. What's the halacha? The Kohen on Yom HaKippurim, when he goes in once a year to Kodesh HaKadoshim, he doesn't wear the big day zav. He wears the special clothes. This is you've been to shul on Yom Kippur. You know that half of the Yom Kippur davening is talking about the wardrobe changes of the Kohen Gadol, right? So he goes in only wearing white. He doesn't wear the golden vestments when he goes in. Lefi she'en kategor nase sanegor. This is a well-known sugya. That the prosecutor can't become the prosecuting attorney can't become the defense attorney. Velo, vaha, ika. But this is what Ben was referring to. So maybe that's why the shofar can't be shel para. Why? Because what's the para going to do?
It's going to remind us of.
It's not going to remind us. It's going to remind him of chet egel. Ein kategor. Rashi says zahava egel. The shofar shel para nami kategor de egel hu. Right? In other words, the cow horn reminds you of the egel. The egel reminds you of the egel of Zahav. The Kohen can't go in with Big Day Zahav, because Zahav is a problem, because it reminds you of Cheta Egel Azav. So now the Gemara has to figure out what are the parameters of this Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor. Because, in other words, really? If you take Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor to its extreme, so...
You'd never be able to bring a para for a korban.
You'd never be able to bring a para for a korban. You'd never be able to do anything with gold. You got married? Kiddushin's a mitzvah? You stood under the chuppah? A rabbi said a blessing? Did you use a gold ring? How are you able to use a gold ring to affect Kiddushin? Yeah, you're wearing one yourself.
Yeah, but Yom Kippur is a little bit different because the whole...
Yom Kippur is more sensitive.
The function of the Kohen Gadol at that point is to achieve...
Yafeh. Rosh Hashanah is not on Yom Kippur. Obviously, Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor is not limited only to Yom Kippur. Right?
Yeah.
It also seems to, I don't know, negate all these concepts of using the sin to do the tikkun, or, you know...
Okay, right. Like mitzvah bo be'aveira, like a kind of iteration on mitzvah bo be'aveira. Okay, but do we ever do anything with gold that does...
So maybe dafka we should, if you want to do the
tikkun. Oh, right, maybe it's a tikkun. Yeah. What?
So maybe we should use a para dafka.
You wear tefillin? What a tefillin made out of? You read from a Sefer Torah? What's a Sefer Torah made out of?
But that's all year long.
So, but it's a Beseder, so ain't... But it's not just Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. Tekiah Shofar is not on Yom Kippur.
No, but Rosh Hashanah is related.
Okay, Rosh Hashanah is close to... Oh, so Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor. So now the Gemara wants to pick apart Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor and explain what its limits are. It turns out that, like most great principles... Look, all the great principles... sometimes the application... Look, what's the principle? Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor. You shouldn't do anything that has any connection... Or any reminiscence of Cheta Egel.
No, that you shouldn't.
No. Ein kategor nase sanegor. We put that on the table. We have yet to define it. But it seems that doing anything connected to the Egel HaZahav, either because it's a cow or because it's gold, is problematic. Okay, we have to define that. Obviously, we are not Hindus. Right?
Right.
So, you know...
But it's not anything would be problematic. It's anything which would fall under the category of kategor, right?
Sanegor. Anything that's
sanegor, yeah. Right?
Okay, so
which is specifically what we do.
Okay,
on Rosh Hashanah.
Well, but you might also say that
halachas.
You might also say that.
Right, you're in shul. You're saying tefillah, and you're reading from a cloth that's made from a cow.
Right, you might say that Hanochas Tefillin is a form of Sanegor. I'm doing this great mitzvah, right? So obviously not. Obviously we have to limit this. So the Gemara starts. So this is like this is just typically the case. What's the klal? Women are pturot from mitzvah asei shezman grama. Except for which mitzvah asei shezman grama? Plenty of mitzvah asei shezman grama that they're chayivin. And in the end, by the time you're done, it's a case where there's a klal and there are more yotze min a klal than there are times you apply the klal. Right? So there's a klal ein kategor nase sanegor, but by the time we're done mitigating it, right, it has very limited applications.
Right.
Ein kategor nase velo vaha ika dam par. Oh, but you spritz the dam. Achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim. Right. Get in the mood, guys. It's coming. It's less than 40 days away. Right. So the dam is dam par. Ho'il v'ishtane ishtane. No, but the dampar is not exactly the same. Why? Because it's not recognizable. That's like right. You see a bucket of blood, you can't tell, is it goat blood, is
that
it cow
covers,
blood? Is
that
it?
Covers basically almost everything else.
Covers a lot, right?
Almost everything else that we mentioned until now.
No, but wait, why did we jump to the dampar? What about the par? Like you being a korban of a par. Par l'chatat.
No, well, yeah, right?
It's obviously a par when you...
So Rashi says, ho'il v'ishtane, since its form has changed, liot dam, since it's no longer cow, but it's blood, ve'ein marita par nikar, and you can't tell what kind of animal it came from. Va'ika aron v'chaporet v'kruv. Right, you have all these gold objects. right? Right there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? The Kohen can't go in with the gold garments, but what's the room full of? Gold. Chote bal yakriv ka'amrinan. No. There's no problem with having gold in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The problem is that the person himself, the chote, who's coming to affect kapara, shouldn't be waving this, hey, remember the Chet HaEgel?
Right, so that's the Kohen Gadol.
Vaha ika kafu machte. Beseder, but he's carrying the ketoret that's in his golden pan. Right? Chote bal yitnoe ka'amrinan. No, when we say en kateganasa, we mean like you shouldn't be wearing it. You shouldn't be using it to make you look bad. The fact that he has to carry this tool and that the tool is gold, right, that's not exactly the same as literally wearing it on your sleeve. Vaha ika bigde zahav mi bechutz. Beseder. So he doesn't wear it. He doesn't wear it inside when he goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim. But he does wear the bigde zahav
outside.
Mibifnim ka'amrina. No, this rule is limited only to inside Kodesh HaKadoshim. So beseder. Okay. So we're off the hook. If we limit en kategor nasa senegor to...
The shofar is not in Kodesh HaKadoshim.
The shofar is not in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shofar nami bivachutz. Ha kevan de lezikaron hu? Kibifnim dami. But since shofar comes as a zikaron, after all, what is the mitzvah of shofar? What is Rosh Hashanah called?
Zikaron.
Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah Zikaron. Right? That it has something to do with this element of causing Hashem to remember. Rashi says, Shofar nami afal gav de leit be mishum chote bal yakriv ve leit be mishum chote bal yitnoe kevan de lezikaron ka'ati kibigde kohen gadol shelifnim dame. It's true that shofar, you don't wear a shofar. And it's true that you don't carry the shofar inside to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But since blowing it causes this memory effect, it's tantamount to the Kohen carrying it in on himself into Beit HaMikdash, into Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippur. So therefore it's kibifnim dami. It is equated as if it is inside. Vaha tani mipnei shehu keren ka'amar. But wait a second. What do you do? What do you hakami chinex with the kategonas senegor? The Mishnah had a different reason. The shofar of a cow is categorically pasul. It's like blowing on a kazoo. If you know the kids have these shofrot that are really just kazoos in the plastic shape of. So you can have all the kavan in the world. And we're going to get to this. So the main sugi of mitzvot tzrichot kavana is here. You can have all the kavan in the world and blow on your kazoo, even if the kazoo is in the shape of a shofar, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Why? Because definitionally, it's not a shofar. Just like as the example I've given many times, if you wave a broom handle and a tennis ball, you can't be yotzei lulav. Because definitionally, it's not a lulav. So the Mishnah says that the shofar is categorically puzzled because it's not a shofar; it's a keren. Chada vaot ka'amar chada, the en kategor nase sanegor, vaot mipnei shi keren. Say nachinami. The Gemara says there's two reasons. One is because of the problem of it being a Karen, and the other is because of this problem of En Kategor Nase Sanegor. Rabbi Yossi Omar Lecha, Deka Amarta En Kategor Nase Sanegor. Right? So wait a second. So if that's the case, how does Rabbi Yossi allow you to use a Shofar Shel Parah? So he's got this problem. Rabbi Yossi has this thing where he says, your whole thing with reading Keren and not Shofar, it's also called the Shofar. You just don't know how to read that Pasuk properly in Tehillim.
But he still has the problem of Ein Kategor
Nasa. So he says, but how can he allow it when there's this other problem of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor? So what? So pretend for a second you didn't prepare ahead. Well, pretend for a second you didn't learn this Gemara before. Everybody's learned this Gemara before. So what's Rabbi Yossi's answer? Don't look ahead. You're looking ahead.
I'm not looking.
He's looking.
You brought a whole bunch of answers, possible answers.
So, what would you say? If you're Rabbi Yossi, how do you say that in Echinami? It's still kasher. How does he answer then? Yeah, because this whole this Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, all of these different whittling ways at Ein Kategor Nasa until we get to the point that it's this and it's that. So who's this? In other words, it seems like such a stretch. Right? It seems like such a stretch to say...
What's the basis for it, aside from logic?
Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Chazal bring it as a... They don't have a source for it.
There's no source for it, so he can't be...
Well, he doesn't... No, he doesn't reject Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Right? He doesn't say the Kohen Gadol can go in Big Day Zav.
Well, clearly the Kohen Gadol is supposed to go in not in Big Day Zav.
Right. He doesn't reject the existence of the idea of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. He rejects its application to shofar. And shofar. Really...
And the fact that it's not inside and all the things that we said before.
Actually, brings two other mekorot that it's
mentioned. Rabbi Yossi Omar Lecho Deka Amarta Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor Hani Mili Mi Bifnim V'hai Shofar Mi Bechutzu. So he says, Enachinami, I don't accept this idea that it's ki'ilu, it is inside.
It's not
inside. Because if that's the case, you know what? There's so many other things that are also done outside that we imagine, right? V'deka amarta mipneshu ukeren kola shofot nami ekru keren. And he repeats his other answer. But the halacha, of course, is not... not like Rabbi Yossi. Now, what's our halacha? What's our shofar, rather?
It's a ram.
It's from a ram, yeah.
Why?
Because of Akedah
Yitzchak. So, Abaye Amar, Hainu Tamed de Rabbona. Shofar Amar Rachmana, Velo Shnayim Ushlosha Shofrut. So, Abaye has another reason to puzzle a cow. Vahad de para kevan de kai glide glide. Mitchaze kishnayim u'shlosha shofrot. The way the cow horn grows, it grows in these different layers. If you were to saw a cow horn in half,
it would look and like look a at tree.
Like a tree with rings, and not only are they like rings, but they apparently. Oh, I know nothing about this. They apparently are even like, so you could take like a needle or a file or something and stick it in and crack, you know, separate the layers of the horn. So it looks like you have like two or three or four or five shofrot, you know, like the way you stack paper cups together. Right? So that's a problem. Because it's a shofar and it's not shtayim or shlosha or arba chamisha shofarot. In other words, there's a technical problem with the way this horn grows. V'hadapara kevan dekai glidegli means like it grows in these layers. V'hatana mipnei shehu keren ka'omar chada v'od ka'omar. So Abaye says, so if that's the case, why does the Tana say it's this linguistic problem of Karen and not Shofar? So he says there's two different reasons. I mean, really, Abaye might have... He doesn't say this. Well, look at Rashi. See Rashi, glide, glide. Not glide, not ice cream.
Gilde. Like a gilet. That's
right.
Like what covers
It's similar to a scab. Yeah.
It's similar. Because ice cream is something that hardens.
Okay.
Is that why ice cream is called Glida?
I think so.
David, it's 9:16 on Tuesday night. We're testing you to see how long it's going to take for you to answer this question. So bechol shana v'shana nikeret tosefto v'hu kemin geled. Right, Mosif al Geled Rishon, betachlito shel Rishon.
Geled comes from the Aramaic, so I don't think it's related.
Oh,
it's in Unklus when Yaakov says.
Right. Ah, Nachon and Kerach. Right. Why did who chose the name Glida? That was at Ben Yehuda. David.
I don't know.
Rabbi Yossi Omar Lacha, so again, it's the same structure here. Okay, so Abaye says there's this not genetic problem. What would be the right word for Abaye's problem with the shofar?
Structural
problem with the shofar. So then, how does Rabbi Yossi matir it?
I mean, it seems like it's just another angle on the first or second one, that like it's not a shofar. He's saying like it's a different thing. It's not like a regular shofar because it's a keren, because it has.
Yeah, but he still allows it. Rabbi Yossi still allows. Right.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Rabbi Yossi still allows it. So in other words, so the first answer was okay. You want to say that it's a keren and it's a shofar, seder. But then how do you deal with the problem of
if the pasuk says that a shofar is okay, and a cow's thing is called a shofar, then it's okay by definition.
Beseder, but how did... No, not necessarily, because maybe it's... Okay, this is a hypothetical conversation, mm-hmm. which I'm about to put forth, but it could be the Chachamim would then say to him, okay, you know what? Even if we agree that a cow's horn is also called a shofar, who said everything that's called a shofar is kasher? Maybe a cow's shofar is pasul for a different reason. What's that reason? Ein kategor nase sanegor. And he says, ein kategor nase sanegor. How could that apply in this case? And they go through this whole limud where they explain that it's like the Kohen Gadol wearing gold inside. And he says, I don't, that's a stretch. So then Abaye comes along and says, this is a different problem. It's the structural problem of the way cow horns grow, that it's not...
But what is he? It doesn't look like one, but it is one.
It does look like one.
Well, that's his answer. But in other words, he says. The Shovet Nami...
He
says, no, since they're all stuck together, there is in fact one shofar. My mashma daha yovla lishna didichra. That posuk yovel b'mshoch b'keren ayovel. Yovel means a ram. Dichra is the Aramaic word for what? For the Dalet is a Zion. Zichra is a, why? Because they're very gavri animals, right? The ram.
Oh yeah.
Titania Omer Rebbe Akiva keshalachti laaravia hayu korin ladichra yovla. Right. Now he's trying to explain that this. That this posuk, b'mshoch b'keren ayovel, is telling you that it should be a ram, that the ram's horn should be favored. So why doesn't it say ram? So he says no, but that's the word yovla means ram. And how do I know that? Because I once went someplace and I heard in this
that's
other, in other words, in this cognate language, right? Yovla is ram. V'amar v'kiva keshalachti. Now the Gemara. This is a Gemara. We saw this Gemara recently. Where this Gemara appears elsewhere? Is this Gemara also in Megillah? We saw this Gemara elsewhere not long ago. I think it's in Megillah, or a similar Gemara. Of all of these words that need to be defined, and how do etymologists define words? They go out and they, right? How does the OED work? They go out and they look to see how words are used. Oxford English Dictionary. Right? And if you can find out what the original usage, what its first recorded usage, and of course the recorded usage in writing will always be later than when it started being used amongst people, right? So you notice this
it was usage. A good movie.
What was a good movie?
The Professor and the Madman.
Did it come out already?
Yeah.
Oh, when did it come out?
I don't know, it's not half a year ago or something.
Oh, really? I read the book. It's a fabulous book. I read the book 20 years ago. It's a book called The Professor and the Madman about how the Oxford English Dictionary was originally composed, which they... I'd seen that they were making it into a movie.
It was... But, what's his name was very good in it. It was, they were both well cast, even though they're both strange actors.
I saw the coming attraction, but I forget who it was.
The Australian guy.
Mel Gibson, isn't it, right?
Yes.
Right, and he plays the madman or the professor?
No, actually, he plays the professor. He's the straight guy. The madman is Sean Penn.
Sean Penn,
who often overacts, but he overacted this well.
Right. when this committee to create the Oxford English Dictionary, the most complete. What year was it? It was like the mid 19th century.
1860s or something.
Yeah, that's what I was right. The mid 19th century. So they put out this call to people to send us. To send this committee in Oxford.
Well, actually, you're right. I mean, the point is, like, first there was a committee, and they worked on it for 10 years and got nowhere. Right. It was a huge job.
Right. And they needed to. They needed to draft. In,
and he said, "Let's use what's the modern term for this? Knowledge of the masses.
Let's crowdsource.
Crowdsource. He says, let's let anybody send this stuff.
Right. Send us the first recorded, and it turned out that they were getting, like 10 to 1. Submissions from this one guy somewhere, that no one had ever heard of, and it turned out
he signed his name Doctor, I think.
Right.
He was a medical doctor
who had been convicted of a very grisly murder, right?
Murder.
And he was sitting in prison, in a life sentence in prison, and
with a library,
and he was, composing, he contributed more to the Oxford English Dictionary than...
Nothing else to do.
That's the point of the Oxford English. You go out and you see how language is actually being used. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Kishalachti la'Afriki." Yeah, right. That's the best proof. So that's how we know. That's how we know that that the shofar is ideally a ram's horn. Kishalachti la. Wait, where do we go? Oh. Keshalachti l'Ravya, hayu korin l'dichr yuvla. Va'omer Rabbi Akiva, keshalachti l'Galya, hayu korin l'nida galmuda. Right? A menstruant woman was called by this term galmuda. My galmuda, gmula da mi ba'ala. She is separated from her husband. Va'omer Rabbi Akiva, keshalachti l'Afriki, hayu korin l'me'a kashita. Kashita, I think. Lamai nafkamina, le perushe mea kashita deoraita. In other words, to understand what this value of money is. Omer Rebbe kishalachti le karchi hayam, hayu korin le mechira kira. My nafkamina, the perush asher kariti li, right? The pasuk in Bereshit of Maariv HaMachpelah, right? That was the purchase. Charit, what does it mean when Avram says chariti? It means he purchased Maariv HaMachpelah. So Amar Reish Lakish, kishalachti letchum, ken nishraya. Hayukorim, these are, I'm sure that somebody could look to see where all these places are. Hayukorim lakala ninifila tarnu,
Hayukorim lakala
ninfe, latarnagol sechvi, lakala ninfe mikra, yafenof misos kol haaretz. What's the nof?
Ninfe.
Right, it's nof, doesn't mean.
View.
The view, it means the beautiful
bride.
Latarnagol sechvi, as that's a word that we happen to recognize because of the bracha, right? So Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Vibois Ema Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Maikra, Mi Shat Betuchot Bechochma, O Mina Tana Sechvi Vina. Right? And what's that pasuk? What's the point? They were psukim in the Torah. In the time of Chazal, they were psukim in the Torah, which were not completely. The Pshuto Shel Mikra was not completely apparent. Right? In other words, the word Sechvi had gone out of use. So the average person reads the pasuk and doesn't know what a Sechvi is. So he says, I know what a Sechvi is. It's not clear that what they meant was, the Vilna Gaon says, it's not that they didn't know the Perush HaMilim. And this was Chazal. Chazal knew how to read a pasuk. Right? But that they were looking for some kind of proof. So sometimes you have a proof because you have a proof text. And sometimes you have a proof because you can find the usage of the word in actual daily use. Not in our language, because in our language it's passed out of use, but in a cognate language, or in a different culture, or in a different place, that word might still be used. The same way that English, right? Right? And its English is, was it Churchill, or was it... it was Churchill that said English, the British and the Americans are one people divided by a common tongue.
What's his name?
Oscar Wilde. Was it Oscar Wilde?
Could be.
And so that's the point. The language is developed in different ways.
Separated by a common language.
Separated by common language. So if only we had access to all of world knowledge, we could look that up. Who said that? I think maybe it was Oscar Wilde. But that's the point. In other words, Sechvi, like nobody any longer uses that term. But there's another place where it still is used. You know, like in America. In America, if somebody says lift, so you don't know what it is. But you can know that it, if somebody uses the word lift.
Yeah, but lift to Africa might mean something else entirely. I mean, it's not really a proof. It's hard to understand what Tamar is. In fact, you heard in Africa, they call a woman the same word as a pasuk. Like,
there's this pasuk where the meaning is unclear. But right. From its common usage elsewhere, it explains.
Yeah, but I could find the same word in 10 different languages that mean 10 different things. It doesn't mean that's what it meant in the Torah.
Oh, George
Bernard
Shaw.
Says it's a tribute to George Bernard Shaw, Oscar Wilde, or Winston Churchill.
Oh, sorry, I was saying, Baruch Shekivanti. We'll continue this next week. Oh, wait, next week.
I will be here.
I'll have to let you know about next week. Maybe if not on Tuesday, maybe we'll try to meet a different night so that we don't get off to a bad start.
What did you think? Thank you.